It's good to be back with you. It's been a few Sundays that I've been out and about and doing other things or celebrating in other places, so good to be with everyone again. I want to focus our attention in this homily about a very unpopular virtue, one of the hardest things that Jesus teaches, humility. Take the lowest place. This recommendation, don't invite those who can pay you back. Don't seek the highest, take the lowest, right? This is a revolutionary, counterintuitive teaching of Jesus that if we ranked all of his teachings, it would probably be one of the hardest to practice and one of the least, of which we're least, really, least convinced of. Even myself, right? It's like, wait, well, there's justice and this person deserves it. It's challenging. So let's dig into it. Conduct your affairs with humility, says Sirach or Wisdom Books. The greater you are, the more you must humble yourself. So Sirach teaches from the very beginning, we're talking now Wisdom Books of the Jewish tradition, a couple hundred years before Jesus, teaches humility is not weakness, it's wisdom, right? Recognizing the truth of who I am, right? It's a posture that opens us up to grace. You know, allows God to lift us up, like in the gospel. We're warned not to grasp at things beyond us. Don't try to project yourself or grasp things that are way too high for you. Presume. But trust. Accept where you are, right? Be peaceful in the moment, right? I say it's challenging because all of us aspire to great things, and we should. In fact, that's a virtue, aspiring to great things that God wants to do. But we aspire to them with an open heart, not with a sense of grasping and going, getting, and forcing and manipulating. No, a desire to have a heart like the Lord, great things, but the things that God wants to give. In Jesus' parable of the seats, all of us who have hosted meals, had people over, right? Wedding parties, struggle to make sure you get everybody at the right seat, right? Have you ever been through that? You know, like I used, as you know, when I worked at the Vatican in the Vatican museums, I was in charge of, you know, the public relations and events. And so we were continuously, like on a weekly basis, having these big dinners in the after hours in the museums. You shut it down, the gallery of the maps or the galleries, the candelabras, and we'd have set up all these tables, etc. And inevitably, the last couple minutes in the office before we go down to open the doors, it'd be like looking over the list, who canceled, who joined, who's this person, do we know who this is, where should they be sitting there? It's why? Because you want it to go well, you want people to feel respected, etc. And all of us also know when you have people that come to those events, how we love the ones who say, you know, don't worry, wherever, you just put me wherever, you know. You're like, oh great, I have like a wild card, I can put them wherever. Because they're worried about the mission, they're worried about you, they're worried about the situation. We also, unfortunately, have the experience of those who are like, oh, make sure you get this one right. Because they'll let you know if, you know, they're in the wrong table or the wrong place or they were too close to the bathroom or close to the traffic or the waiters were coming through and making, you know, you'll hear about it, so make sure, you know. And then out of justice and charity, you're also trying to make sure, hey, this person's been, you know, so we want them to feel honored, right? There's a sense of charity and justice. But getting it all right, right, is the challenge. And Jesus gives this advice. He's like, you know what? If you go to an event, your attitude should be lowest place. Go to the lowest place. Don't presume you're more than everybody else. You're more important. You're more deserving. You're more just, etc. Just, if it's up to you, go to the last place. Right? He also gives advice if you're organizing it, if you're inviting. And he's saying this to the Pharisee who invited him. Hey, when you're calculating who to include, don't just include those who are going to be able to turn around and pay you back. Did you hear about that Christmas party? We're going to invite them because I want to get into that house and see, you know, and see them and be in that crowd and know those people, right? Like, I want to be part of that. So let's see how we can. No. Intention, purity. I'm here and I want to organize this to honor, to love, to serve, to include those that, right? Jesus said, especially beware, those that can't be, include them. Many of you know I do that Bible study every Thursday morning with men online and Zoom. anybody's interested, you're more than welcome. Just have to get the Zoom link. So I don't know an easy way to get that out, but anyhow, come up and ask me if you want. It's great. I get good ideas for the homily, but these guys also have great reflections. And one of the men said, you know, one of the only places where people aren't worried about where they're sitting is at my AA meetings. Right? And it reminded me as a kid, our parish used to host AA meetings. And so when we were closing down the youth events on Friday night or Sunday night, we'd be finishing up around 7, and the meeting after us was the AA guys. You know, we were kind of a downtown parish, so they'd come wandering in and readjust the chairs. And I remember they'd push everything out, they'd form the circle, and they'd be sitting there, a few of them be outside of the door smoking, waiting for us to leave, you know. But when they came in, one time I forgot something, I had to go back in. They were in the middle of their meeting, and it was like sacred. I was like, I shouldn't be here, I forgot. They're all sitting around, everybody's the same. No one walks in there with any airs. Because the common denominator is we're all been humbled. We've all encountered something bigger than us. And they're just there sharing, whether you're a CEO or whether you're this or whether you're that, all the same. Maybe think of our Mass, right? How do we begin our Mass? I confess to Almighty God. And to you, my brothers and sisters, all of you, that I've sinned. Like, that's the way we begin. We come humbly before the Lord. Like, that's one of the beautiful things about our faith. Nobody is more important than anybody here. What do we have in common? We're sinners. We all got issues. We all need God's mercy. And we're coming here to worship Him, to ask for His grace, right? And that's why the second reading was so amazing, so beautiful, that turn of the New Testament. Hey, you guys didn't come, St. Paul says, to some mountain. Remember the Old Testament? Where it was shaking and storms when Moses went up on the and received and trembling and fear. And the people are down below. If you reread Exodus, we're not going up. Send Moses. This is a scary thing. You go up, talk to God. You get the law. We'll stay down here. You represent us. We're not going in person. No, you didn't experience that. You came to a different, God came down to you in Jesus Christ and showed mercy and love and washed your feet and then took your place. He walked into the meeting. He said, hi, my name's Jesus. He became sin for you so that, and what do we learn from that when Jesus said, the only thing Jesus said when he told us, hey, imitate me, do what I did, when he washed feet, and when he said, learn from me, I'm meek and humble of heart. Jesus is the first one to live this humility and invites us to imitate him. So when he's talking about going into parties and what place you take, etc., don't get hung up on, well, it's kind of difficult. I mean, that's my chair. I shouldn't go. No, it's the point is, and what he sums it up as, that spiritual truth that he lived and he wants us to live. Everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and the one who humbled himself will be exalted. To be those who humble ourselves before the Lord and before our others. Jesus is the model of humility. How do we live humility today? Just a few things. Family life. Listen first. Serve quietly. Honor others. I remember in the seminary, they taught us, we'd have meals together and they'd bring the platter to the table. And the rule was, or the unwritten rule, what they taught us in class was, hey, when the platter comes to you first, take the worst piece on the platter. And then if everybody's doing that, the last one gets the best piece. Yeah, it's a practical thing, but it's forming a mentality. Hey, when I look at the world, when I look at meeting my own needs legitimately, am I thinking in terms of, hey, how can I make sure everybody else is taken care of? Not just taken care of sufficiently, but well, better than me. How can I put myself in the lowest place? Family life, great opportunity for that, right? Problem is when you feel like you're the only one thinking that way. Hey, I'm thinking that way, but what about you, right? Yeah. Then you're probably not fully thinking that way, right? Caregiving. How many of us care for others, whether for profession or in our lives? Embracing those hidden tasks and service with love that you're never going to get repaid for, right? Or at least, as Jesus said, you won't get paid in this life, But blessed indeed will you be because of their inability to repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. If you're in a position of leadership, elevating others, not self, right? Giving all the credit to others, recognizing their participation, calling them out, encouraging what they've done. And maybe most importantly, in prayer, praying for that heart that loves and that's detached and that serves and is willing to make sure everyone else is taken care of, that humble heart, approaching God with humility and awe, not entitlement. Thank you, Lord, that I'm not like this others. No. Jesus, remember? I'm in the back beating on his breast. Lord, I'm a sinful man, right? Like we all do when we begin the Mass, right? That's the attitude we want to cultivate. And not because we think of ourselves as less, right? Oh, I'm terrible, I'm a bum, no good. No, it's to recognize the beauty of who I am in relation to God. Saved, redeemed, loved, valuable, but relative to God and relative to those around me. Humility. Let's ask for that grace, brothers and sisters. We celebrated St. Monica and St. Augustine, another great example. I won't get into that since I went on a little bit longer. Pope Leo's another great example. You know, if he wanted to become Pope, he probably shouldn't have accepted to go off to Peru, right? And work in what diocese was that? I don't know. If I'd have told you, we're going to have an American Pope in a couple of months. Oh, yeah, really? And you tell me, where did he come from? Oh, New York, Cardinal Nolan, great personality, it's fun, you know, connected to money and power. He'd be a great king, or L.A. or Houston, or, you know. What if I told you this guy was in Chicago? In fact, the parish church where he was baptized is in ruins and belongs to a Protestant group. They're trying to figure out what to do with this old church. Even the church he's baptized in is broken down, you know. And then he joined an order, and then they asked him to go serve in Peru in the third world. It probably wasn't a career path where he's like, as soon as he got that letter going off to, oh yeah, this is the path to the back. No, so, this is God's will. Let me serve. Let me love. You know? Now, we don't do it in order to, I'm going to seek the lowest place because I really want to be at the top. No, I just want to serve. I want to love. I want God to do with me what he will. So let's pray for that grace. I do want to close the homily by doing a quick shout out. There was an announcement this morning. The initiative, two initiatives we're starting in the parish. One is Walking with Purpose, which is a Bible study for women. We already announced it to begin the Mass. I think so the 26th of September is the first, the kickoff, 25th, yeah, of September. It's a Thursdays at 9 a.m. Great program, Walking with Purpose, great Bible study for women. So I'd encourage everyone, as you're going out the Mass, at the end there's a table set out over here to the left, and they can answer your questions. Even if you're like, probably can't, 9 o'clock, no, can't do it. Don't go straight to your car. Stop off, find out about it. Because who knows, maybe it's not going to be for this year, maybe it's going to be down the years, or maybe there's another parish in the area that offers, because multiple do offer that you could get into. I really believe nourishing our heart with the Word of God on a regular basis with others is a game changer for your faith. If you've been wondering how to grow, couldn't be more teed up. So look into that, find out about it, and I think that'd be great. Another thing Father preached his homilies on, so I want to give a quick shout out to what he was preaching on, is adoration, Eucharist. He wants to start more times of exposition of the Blessed Sacrament here, and so I think he's shooting for Wednesday afternoons to pray for our youth, right? I think it's 4:30 to 6:30 or 7:30, check the bulletin. But he wants to begin doing that. Pray for our kids to adore the Lord, to receive the graces that come from quiet time with the Lord. So that's another thing to look forward to as we try to ramp up and grow and go deeper in St. Paul's in our spiritual life. So two opportunities, encourage you to do them. Look into them. If God doesn't give you the ability to do them now, look for ways to do something similar, either now or in the future. God bless you.